Sometimes the mountain is hidden from me in veils of cloud. Sometimes I am hidden from the mountain in veils of inattention, apathy, fatigue, when I forget or refuse to go down to the shore or a few yards up the road on a clear day to reconfirm that witnessing presence. I always like to hear poems twice, so I'm going to read it twice. Sometimes the mountain is hidden from me in veils of cloud. Sometimes I am hidden from the mountain in veils of inattention, apathy, fatigue, when I forget or refuse to go down to the shore or a few yards up the road on a clear day to reconfirm that witnessing presence. So we all have different connections with words. So there are various similar words to awareness. Presence is one of them, and presence really kind of does it for me, actually. But we all need to find what word or phrase or whatever might do it for us that we feel really connected to. But there in that poem, of course, the mountain is a metaphor for that sense of presence or that bigger space of awareness, which is always there, like the mountain, but we're continually forgetting about it. It's like mindfulness, isn't it? We want to be mindful, but we're continually forgetting. And our consciousness, our awareness, our experience is clouded over with, I mean, she suggests inattention, apathy, fatigue. I'm sure you can bring other qualities to that you find you get lost in, yeah? So I wanted to start by just doing a little exercise together. And it's very simply that you just sit fairly upright and just bring some presence now, if that word works for you, or awareness, or more attention. We can talk about bare attention, pure awareness, whatever works for you. Just for a few moments, just see if you can come into that sense of being alongside yourself in that way. All right, so let's just try another one, and this time we're going to keep our eyes open and see if we can bring, for those people who find it difficult, just breathe with the experience, keep breathing with the experience, and that tends to calm the situation down a bit. Yeah? Breathing is always helpful if you're churned up. So I'd just like you to look in an object in front of you and not have a fixed stare, just relax into looking at it. Just take it in with some kind of presence. Just be available, open to it. Forget to breathe. And just let that object come towards you. So I think this is something you can do if you if your meditation's not going well, and you're with closed eyes and your proper posture and everything is not working, just take an object. The main thing is to become absorbed and calm down. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
I really noticed the shift when you said let the last bit that you said about let the object come closer. And there was a sort of opening of the heart,
right?
And the object became much more, speaking that glass, it became like much more luminous.
Yeah.
And
right.
There was a definite shift in how I was seeing it, dependent on how my heart opening to it, which was really quite distinct and interesting to see. Yeah.
So a connection, a deeper connection.
Yeah.
So I also took the glass, and I found the real connection with this glass, almost falling in love with it. It's like, wow. Okay, so just want to say a little bit more now. So I think we all have these moments of coming, in a way, coming home to ourselves, or coming to, as we might say, but it's very difficult to sustain, especially in life out there. And you know, one can, if you get very absorbed, it's possible to sustain it in meditation as well, and maybe we can have a taste of that. But there's a definite shift for me when I'm coming into awareness with a capital A. Yeah? And by that I don't mean, because we're aware all the time through the sense perceptions, subliminally maybe, picking up things. But there's that shift into a more conscious way of being aware, and that's what we're looking for here. Yeah, for me there's a kind of wakeful clarity in that, an availability, like being available to that glass there, and a receptivity to myself and to the object. So we're in that phase of receptivity now in our Sangha theme, and so that's what we're going to be exploring: awareness in connection with receptivity. Sorry. And this is our true nature. This is how we're meant to be. This is the real. Yeah. And and what a shame we spend most of our lives not being real, not being in that space, being home to ourselves. So our consciousness is unclouded, as it says in the poem there. And our so-called, another phrase for it, our inherent nature is not available to us. Yeah? Another phrase, intrinsic awareness. Awareness that is intrinsic to us as human beings. And it goes largely unrecognized as we get lost in the worry and flurry of life. So we're kind of continually going to sleep. And you know, you could compare it to a gem. It's a real gem which has become encrusted with dross and dust and all the stuff, all our stuff. There was an image that Pranimati brought last time of pure water and silt, which I thought was very apt, really. But it's always there in the background. It's always available. It just goes unrecognized. Yeah. So we can tap into it at any given moment, as long as we're not too preoccupied with silt. Yeah. And we can compare it to the mirror-like wisdom of Akshobhya. Akshobhya, who we had at the beginning of the year, and we learnt that his particular wisdom is mirror-like awareness. So if you think of a mirror which is faithfully reflecting whatever appears in it, yeah, and that's the way the Buddha is inviting us to become, so that we see reality as it is. We don't keep colouring it with our own interpretations, our particular views, our way of looking at the world, so that that pure awareness is really that. It's being as pure as the mirror, just seeing things as they really are. And awareness has the capacity also to be with anything. So all the pain, all the difficulties, all the trauma and stuff can be contained by awareness. And it can work in a very magical way there. It has no preferences, awareness. It meets everything as it is. And there again, a very Amitabha quality, really, of acceptance. Of acceptance of what is in any given moment. However awful it may seem, it's in one way okay in Amitabha's realm. Yeah. And there was another quote from Pranamati's talk last time, which I really enjoyed. The way is not difficult for those not attached to preferences. The way is not difficult for those not attached to preferences. And that's, of course, all our liking, our disliking, our views very much here, yeah, to do with preferences. And preferences lead to what we could call the kind of selfish passions like anger, greed, jealousy, pride. And there again, it's where we get, that's where we get lost and enmeshed in the silt of our hindrances. So I think, you know, this thing of receptivity, where we're linking to Amitabha because we have the five Buddha mandala going alongside the system of meditations, not necessarily always done in that way dharmically, but we can see it like that, and we can use these Buddha qualities to inspire us to raise ourselves to another level of awareness and consciousness. So I've already mentioned akshobhya as being like that mirror, Ratnasambhava, that thing of generosity, being generous towards experience. Yeah, there again, not in a way having preferences. I don't mean necessarily even being positive, but just being magnanimous to whatever is and accepting it as it is then the Amitabha quality. So I think it's quite nice that we can bring those, all those three we've had so far, in, so to speak.